Welcome to the Better Business, Better Life podcast with me, Stuart Wilkinson, and Shelley Dixon. Welcome, Shells.
Morning. How are you doing, Stu?
Great. Great to be back. It's been quite a while since we've done a podcast, but we've made a decision to bring it back and sort of start. So we're thinking fortnightly is, I think, what we're thinking, Shells, to sort of get into a bit of rhythm and, yep. I guess, again, use it as a platform to share, I guess, what we're seeing with our clients and use those lessons to kind of discuss and see how we can learn. But also, we're going to have some guests over the next wee while and just key topics which we know are top of mind for businesses. So I guess, am I right there, Shells? Like, what's your goals for us relaunching the podcast?
Yeah, I'd like to see us bring on some guest speakers to talk about things that we probably don't talk about as business owners enough, but topical for client interactions that I'm having now and introductions I'm making to third parties and things. So yeah, I think it's going to be exciting. So watch this space, guys, over the next couple of weeks. And I would also challenge all of the listeners out there, if there's something that you want us to talk about, how about you just post some comments in the chat box? Stu will pick those up and we will seek the people that you want to find the questions from and bring them onto our podcast. There's our challenge for our listeners.
Yeah, I think that's really good, Shell. So yeah, any feedback on things that you're thinking of topping of mind? And I think one of the things me and Shell's, I guess we've been over the last definitely 12 months working, I guess, more intensely in that advisory space with our clients, a lot in the planning, facilitation, implementation, which we'll talk a bit about today with what we're going to discuss with our report. But I guess it's kind of helping how we help businesses kind of just create a path forward to, in short, build a better business. So that's the goal of the podcast, is a little mini advisory sessions and thought-provoking thing to kind of get you thinking about how you can improve in your business. So with that, what's today's episode? So today's episode is about a report launched by Mindshop. So Mindshop is a kind of global consulting and advisory firm. They support us and we're a member of Mindshop. And the title of their report is, in simple terms, quite practically, what to adopt and what to abandon. And this report is geared at business leaders and to kind of get a clarity on, okay, what are the things that you need to kind of, you know, double down or put more effort in or more focus on, and what are the things you kind of need to really challenge yourself to stop doing or take action on. And I guess the key thing is that what they're trying to talk about in this report is that we're in a world now where there is a lot of information, there's a lot of noise, lots of things coming at us. And the clarity, the clear thing is, how do we get back to really focusing on our plan? How do we get back to our back on strategy? But most importantly, how do we get back into implementation? And I think the key things that they talk about in this report, and a lot of this has come from feedback and surveys of all their advisors and all the people that are kind of part of the Mindshop community, is that how do we get movement forward? That there's a lot of time spending on the planning and there's a lot of procrastination. And the key thing is, how do we make progress and how do we make that simple in today's world where there is lots of noise and lots of things going on? So I guess for me, what we'll do today, there's two sections. There is what to adopt, and they've got a kind of 11 things there and we'll go through those. And then the second part is what to abandon, and there's another 11. So we'll talk through those, and then finally we'll talk through a bit of an action plan. I guess, Shells, any thoughts from you at a headlining high level on the report and kind of your thoughts that business owners need to think about before we go into kind of these what to abandon and what to adopt strategies?
Yeah, I think, look, as business owners, we are all so busy being busy working in the business. Most of you guys listening, ladies listening too, will be on the tools or doing something in there. I think it's important to reflect on the last 12 months and where you want to head coming into the new financial year, and really try to adopt and abandon even one or two things. Like, their recommendation is three, but even if you pick up one or two, that's still progress, right? So I think when you listen to this podcast, be honest with yourself. I know that Stu is going to put a link to the report, so you'll be able to see it later. And I think if you just have a wee reflection over there, come to us if you need some help. But that's my challenge to you. I think we procrastinate. Human nature is to procrastinate, right? Actually, that's going to be too hard. I don't know how to do that. But I think just pick one or two things and give it the best crack possible in the first few months, and then maybe you'll be able to hit off another two. Like, it is all about changing what we do today to improve tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that's really, really good advice, Shells. And I think, you know, to kind of link to that is I think a lot of clients, there's a lot of their changes they want to make seem pretty big or significant. So how do you kind of break that down into kind of actual steps? So okay, let's go through the first 11 and we'll kind of just talk through them at a real high level. And then Shells has got some really good examples and we'll discuss kind of what we feel is the important part of some of these. So number one is of what to adopt this is contrarian thought. So the idea being is how do you make sure you're challenging yourself? How have you got people that have got different perspectives to you to make sure you're, I guess, getting really good rounded views and decisions that you're making in your business. Second one, and I've actually adopted this myself, so I can talk about this, is time boxing, how you manage your time for implementation and then doing what you need to do. The idea of time boxing is blocking out set periods of time in your calendar, in your day, to focus on particular activities with the idea of driving you forward. And we can touch on that a bit more moving forward. Operational excellence, how you drive efficiency and effectiveness across your operational processes. And the idea of how do you get a culture of continuous improvement. Fourth one's about leadership. Model the way, be the coach. How do you lead your team? How do you foster a coaching mentality to empower your team members to take on more? But also do that in a way that guides, supports, and develops your team. Learn from the right peers, kind of linked a little bit to number one, but where are you getting your insights? Where are you getting knowledge from? Are you getting that from experienced, relevant people in your networks to make sure you've got sort of best of breed learning and input into your business? Sixth one, which we're going to spend quite a bit of time on, is profitable growth. How do you make sure that what your marketing and sales strategies are doing is leading to profitable revenue growth, not just growth for growth's sake? Seven, customer centricity. How do you put the customer at the core of the business? What are the decisions you're making based on the best things for your customer that so you're delivering value? Eighth, the buzzword that we're all talking about, AI, and technology. How do we leverage AI and technology in our businesses? What is the things that we can do to use AI to enhance our operational efficiency and drive a bit of innovation? Number nine, simple one, what's a stop doing list? Identify 20% of the activities and tasks you undertake that provide 80% of the value in the business. How do you sort of do number 10, we're going to spend a bit of time on this one, is high quality team. How do you build a high performing team? We'll have some guests in the podcast down the track. We'll talk a lot about high performance. And then 11, and this links a lot to what's in the report, which is Mindshop and some of the tools that they have. How do we use those tools? And that's linked to kind of what we do with our clients. But I guess, Shells, which are the ones, I mean, there's a couple that you've highlighted there, but what are the ones you kind of want to delve into for discussion?
Look, the time box one there, I think I agree with Stu. Like when we talk about procrastination, the best thing you can do is block out some time to work on the business and put some time aside. You've got to make sure that you turn off all your notifications, people don't come into your office, all of those sorts of things. But I highly recommend it. It is really effective because it does make sure you are more productive during those times. So that's cool. The other one that I just want to quickly touch on is the leveraging AI. If you're not good in this space, partner up with someone that is within our own company here at Rightway. Stu's the techie person. I'm the not techie person. And it is important when we think about contrarian thought to have that balance, right? So when Stu says to me, I'm thinking about using this, and I say, well, what do we need that for? Like, it's important to have the balance of the conversation. And AI is the buzzword. It does not mean that everyone is going to lose their jobs, but it is about embracing the technology and understanding how your business could be enhanced, whether it be process, procedures, more efficient work form, and all of that. So yeah, I really challenge you because we all get frightened. I get frightened by that, right? I don't want to lose my job because a robot comes in and does it. But that's kind of not what that's about. So yeah, I guess the two that I really wanted to delve into because they've become quite topical in the advisory with clients is a profitable growth and the higher quality team.
Yeah. I think just touching on the AI one, Shells, I agree. Like, it's one of those things that I think, is it going to change the world tomorrow? I don't think so. But I think if you're not a firm or a business, starting to look at how it can help you and start to gear you and just understand what it does and what it is, you are going to get left behind. We are looking at getting a couple of guests in this space down the track. There's a company we're working with, Prozac, Nick and Rowan, who've kind of in this space for the accounting stuff, and they've got some really good stuff around AI. And so we're going to look for working with them. So Do you want to start with profitable growth, Shells? And just, you know, we've obviously had a discussion before this. So do you want to have a quick chat on profitable growth, what you see in that space, and some examples you recently we were talking about as well?
Yeah, for sure. So I guess profitable growth is all about making sure that you have the right revenue, the right products and services, and that all of that is priced right and you're pricing that on the value you offer to the client, whatever it is that you sell, whether it's a service, whether it's a product. And look, I think it's topical at the moment because everyone listening to this podcast will have had an email from Spark or One New Zealand, probably had an email from Genesis or Meridian or somebody like that saying that their prices are changing. And I think it's so much in the media right now that prices are going up and salaries and wages are not going up at the same rate of price of goods and services. And I think for the customers that both Stu and I spend a lot of time advising, this is a really, really hard and challenging process for them to go through. So thinking about increasing their charge out rates for jobs and things really challenges them because they worry that they will lose clients. Whereas I guess from my perspective, less clients paying you the value that you deserve is better than more clients not paying you enough. So when we talk historically in podcasts, we've talked about the race to the bottom is swift when your pricing is not right. This is one of those things that you really, really have to focus on because believe it or not, less is more. If you have more clients paying you $100 an hour, whereas before you had, less clients paying you $100 an hour, whereas before you had more clients paying you 70, you're not necessarily better off with more at 70. So you've got to think about all the costs that encompass your business, whether it's freight or the way you now have to order because your suppliers need you to order in bulk, otherwise they won't place an order with their suppliers. All of those things have changed how you do business. And I think when we talk about profitable growth, if you don't look at your business model and your pricing, that profit will not be there. It will just get eroded.
Yeah, I completely agree, Shells. And a number of my clients are in the kind of importing or manufacturing, but you know they're stock-based businesses, and they're all of these clients, and look, there'll be every person in this podcast will have had that, whether you're a tradie that's got an increase in price from Bunnings or whatever. But we've all had price rises come through. Some of them have been gradual and some of them have been a little bit more sudden. And I think there's no doubt we are starting to see with inflation that's starting to pair off. But the reality is price is not going to go down. I know freight's come down and stabilized a bit. But I think the reality is that not having a good review of what your margin is and understanding that, and sometimes that can be hard, and sometimes it's also if you've got good systems that might allow you to get better visibility on that. But especially in that product-based business where you know you've been buying something for $5 and selling it at 10, but now it's $6.50 and you're still selling it at 10, you know, that's $1.50 each unit you are missing out, and then that all is going to be profit and GP that then obviously leads to profit that's going to go down. So just really, you know, understanding that. And as Shell said, like it comes back, doesn't it, Shell's, to like, who are my customers? You know, who are the good customers I deal with? Who are the ones that I get great feedback for? Is there particular services or products that they are buying more of than compared to clients who I don't see as valuable? Like what is understanding that mix and what is the demographics and makeup of those clients that make them good clients? And I know internally we've had lots of discussions, haven't we, Shells, about that? But
yeah,
there's lots of components to this profitable growth conversation, isn't there?
Yeah, there absolutely is. And I think if you don't know how to increase your prices, there's lots of methodologies around how you should do that, how much notice you should give, and all of those things. So we can definitely help you here with that. It's certainly something that you probably do not want to do on your own. You do need to have some support and advice around how you do that to make sure the end result is where you need it to be. But there are other factors that come into the profitable growth. It's just not about the price you charge your clients. It's obviously about suppliers as well. What's the best rate that you're getting from them? When was the last time you reviewed all those things? As Stu said, everything is going up. So it is reviewing the big key lines in your P&L on an annual basis too, and really looking at what sort of value you get from the people that provide services to your business, and really challenging them on that too.
The other one in this group, Shells, you wanted to chat about was is high quality team. Do you just want to delve into to that one, number 10 on the list?
Yeah. So, look, we have come into a position where actually things have settled down, I guess, a bit since COVID. I think we're a bit more normalised now than what we were before. And the high quality team, it's great to build and maintain a high performing team, have a diverse range of skills, experience, and then leverage the strengths of all your people to make sure that you're driving success. But the key part for me in this high quality team is also about moving on poor performance people and having the courage to do that. Now, I don't want anyone to listen to this podcast and walk into their office today and fire someone that's not been performing without the appropriate advice. Disclaimer. But what I do want to say, what I do want to say is you need to stop walking the path of least resistance. It's hard. It is absolutely hard. And once again, had several conversations with several people that own businesses that are being nice to their employees but not nice to themselves. So it's about being honest with yourself, taking the time, and when we go into the what to abandon, this part kind of feeds into a part of that as well, but being kind to yourself and your business sustainability, because right people, right roles, right strengths, wrong people, wrong roles, recipe for disaster. So once again, probably not something that you should easily do on your own. I really challenge you to find some support around that, whether it's us or an HR specialist or someone. But it is about ranking all of your people that work for you and understanding what skills and strengths they bring, and the people that are not living up to the expectations of their job or not delivering the KPIs, what are you going to do with them? Are you going to try and bring them up to a level, or are you actually going to performance manage them out? So I know it's not a nice topic to talk about, but we are in times now where the labour market isn't as tight as what it was before, and humans are kind people. That is our nature. But at some point in time, we have to be honest with ourselves. If we want to improve our business, we've got to really focus on our people.
I think chat is the other part, and I know that, you know, a couple of clients I've worked with are really looking at this. Is for me also, it kind of links a little bit to that stop doing list. Like, what are the 20% of the activities and tasks that you undertake that provide 80% of the value? It's really also understanding for yourself as the leader in the business, what is the areas of and time that you need to focus on to move the business forward, and whatever that might be, you know, but the plan, and maybe it's you're the person that's best with the customers, whatever it might be. And also challenging, well, if I'm not doing this, some of that still probably has to be done. Is there people in my team that can step up and take on those responsibilities, or there is all the is there not? And I guess I also think when you look at this topic of high quality team, it links to your structure in your business, what you're doing as the leader, where do you spend the time that's most effective and for the business and the value you can do. Let's be honest, as all people in business, there's things we're really good at and things we're not good at. Is there stuff that you're not good at that you could pass on? And I think for me that links to, again, well, is my team agile? I've got some people that want to step up and take on those responsibilities, great. Or if it is part of what you're doing, cleaning up and kind of doing the stuff that your team won't or doesn't want to do, you've maybe tried. Some of that might be you just not challenge yourself, and you could push more down or alleviate and coach and for more people to take on more responsibility. But making sure you've got people that are really kind of in key in the roles that are going to drive you forward, and in a structure that makes sense for your business, because what might have worked 5 years ago might not now. And so I think having a good, you know, to Shell's point, a team around that you can really drive your help you drive towards your business goals and how you want to manage the business. You know, if you're sitting here listening to this podcast on your drive to work and you're about to have a 10-hour day because you've got to do a million things from sales, orders and whatever just to keep the business going, well, part of the challenge there is, well, you've got too much on your plate. You don't have to be the center of everything. So start thinking about how you, in your structure, bring in the right people to sort of alleviate some of the stress so you can focus on what you need to, but also so you've got some balance on your life. We all know that that's super important. So I think there's quite a lot under this, Shells, isn't there? This discussion about the team, the structure of what it is.
There is.
But there is no there doubt is being like staring into, you know, we've all probably, you know, had experience in our life where there was someone we're like, oh, yeah, I could have moved on quicker. And as Shell said, get advice around that and really challenge yourself and what would that mean? And okay, what would happen if I made a change there? But there is also, I know we've all probably had situations in our careers where we've had that situation, we've actually moved them on and the weight off our shoulders. And also then the effect, the feedback you've got from the team of, well, why didn't you do that sooner, often comes as well. So this affects your culture in a number of ways. So it's a big topic. As we say, get advice. That's the key one. But yeah, I think just making sure you've got the best team is a really good starting point for success leading into the next financial year.
Perfect.
Cool. All right. We'll go through the next one, which is what to abandon. Look, some of these mirror what we've just done, but the idea being is what are the top two or three things that you would abandon? So I'll just go through them and then we'll go on to a couple in more detail. So what to abandon? Searching for unicorn team members. You know, endlessly trying to get the perfect team member or whatever into your team. Fixed mindset, holding a rigid belief that your capabilities, your acumen is what it is and just not looking to learn. Loss-making products and services linked to what we've just discussed. Toxic team members, a bit linking to what we've discussed as well. A big one which I want to dig into is poor work and life balance. Living on social media, overemphasize our online networking and content rather than actually getting out there in the real world. Echo chambers, surrounding yourself with individuals that kind of validate you rather than challenge you. Strategic planning with no implementation. So the idea being is you've got great plans, but you're not actually implementing them. Emotional intelligent blind spots, overlooking or neglecting the importance of building great emotional intelligence and relationships with your team and suppliers, etc. Unworthy or poor quality customers. So just, any customer's okay kind of thing. Rather than understanding that some might not be a good fit. And then the last one, I think is a really good one, worrying about things you can't change. And there's plenty going on in the world at the moment to worry about, but most of it we can't change. Where did you, what are the couple of ones you wanted to kind of crack on with here, Shells?
Just I guess following on from the last part of the conversation with the toxic team members one, just be mindful that good team members can also be caring and supporting the poor performers and their mindset and perceived impact on an inaction of someone not taking care of business in that area. But for me, the main couple that I wanted to focus on outside of what you were looking at was really the fixed mindset and the echo chamber for me.
Yes.
So
yeah.
If we start with the fixed mindset side of things, for those of you who like listening to podcasts, I'd challenge you to look up Simon Sinek has got a really good podcast on a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. So you could listen to that on your way to work and understand what we mean by this a little bit more. But I do think in 2024, you have to open your mind to new opportunities, new ways of doing business, like I already said, tech versus paper. If you're not good at something or don't understand something that you really want to change in your business, to open up your mind to those new opportunities, partner with someone who is really good at that stuff that can really challenge your thinking. But I think more so now than ever, what you've done before can't be done going forward and achieve the same result. And I had a fantastic meeting yesterday with a client who said to me, "You'll be so proud of me, Shells. We've implemented Fergus. It's only taken us like 30 plus years to get onto technology." And I asked him how it was going. And he said, "Look, all of the teams embraced it other than one person that works for me who is in his late 70s. So I'm like, that to me is absolute success. Has it been seamless? Absolutely not. But actually, it will fundamentally change his business and how he does things. And all those pieces of paper that sit in his office will eventually be dwindled down." Now, that takes a lot of courage too, right? To change something that you've always done and embrace change. So once again, absolutely happy here at Right Way to help you with all of those sorts of challenges. But that would be one thing that I think if you were going to abandon, that would be a great thing to abandon in 2024.
Yeah, and I'll make sure we put in the show notes the link to Simon Sinek's podcast. He's got, it's quite good actually. There's nothing too long in there. He's got some really good practical advice. But I think that example you've got, Shells, for all the listeners, Fergus is a kind of trades job management system. It's a really good system actually. But that change of just taking your business through that, open your eyes to how you can do things a bit better, a bit smarter. It doesn't need to be changing the world, but just constantly thinking how you get better and how you improve. I think it's massive. And I think that links also to that team performance one for me, Shells, and in the sense of you know, you might have a bunch of people that are willing to keep, you know, learning, want to take on responsibility, but the old, you know, oh, I'm not doing that, it's not my job description, or, well, you'll have to pay me more to do that kind of comments, that's holding you back. Like, you know, the world's different, and we know it evolves and is changing. And so what, how you do things, what you want to do will be different today than it was 5 years ago. The other one you talked about there is echo chambers, Shell. Do you want to just dive into that one?
Yeah, for sure. So look, I think the echo chambers thing is important for me, and something that I think as individuals we should all check ourselves on. So negativity breeds negativity. When we're in a negative mind frame, actually what we vocalize is more negative or more frustrating than positive. So you know, be aware of what you're saying, who you're saying it to, and the impact on those people. And I think it is really mindful to check your own, do a pulse check on yourself. Where is your attitude at? How are you feeling about things? Because we all get frustrated at work, and we get frustrated with our colleagues, we get frustrated with our customers. But I guess that whole echo chambers for me is just, it's like going into a cave or going through a tunnel and beeping the horn on a car, right? There's that echo. So just envision that what you say is being echoed to everybody that you talk to in your workplace, good, bad, or otherwise. What do you want to change about that? Because let's be honest, we all have things to change about that. And so once again, I'm saying that this is something quite simple, doesn't need you to invest a whole heap of time. It just needs you to self-check yourself and the verbal diarrhea, albeit coming out of your mouth, and put a plug in that maybe, and change some of those negative thoughts to more positive ones.
I think it's really, I think it's also, I know I keep going back to the team one, but you know, part of that is, Shells, is like, is there people on your team, and have you created a culture in your team that if you are, look, there's going to be days where we've all, you know, had a shit day, don't get me wrong, and we're not in our best frame of mind, and it may spill over into our work and how we're act and stuff. But I guess, have you got an environment as the leader, as the owner, that you've got people in your business that go, hey, boss, are you all right? You're not your best today. And this is, you know, and the team's noticed kind of thing. Like, I think that's also, again, it's not just external peers that may be part of this conversation, but it's also internally within your team. Have you got people that will support you and give you the support you need in the business? So I think
100%.
Yeah. I think the final one, a couple of eyes I want to talk, just touch on, conscious of we don't want to be sitting here for all. I just want to talk about poor work-life balance. You know, I've had a couple of conversations with clients actually pretty recently about this, to the point that they're not, you know, they're probably burnt out, to be brutally honest. And I think the reality is, do we all have times in our businesses where we are having to work pretty hard, where maybe we're opening a new store, or we've got a new contract, so it's all hands to the pump. You know, we are going to have that at times, I get it. But there has to be a better balance here. You know, you can't, as the leader, be sacrificing yourself for the business, because then you're not going to be the best you can be to drive the business forward or be a good leader within your business. So I think understanding what balance you need to be at high performance, and that word high performance is something that you have to decide what that means, by the way. You know, high performance isn't just winning a gold medal, it's about how do I perform at the best. That, and that links probably to your family as well and other things you want to do in life. But poor work life, I've just seen a couple of examples recently with clients where they're redlined, and that isn't good, and it's going to affect their business in short. So understanding how you have balance in your life to perform, and we're hopefully going to have a guest speaker on this very subject in the next few weeks, and Shells will probably know who I'm talking about because he presented at our conference, but this is really an important part for me. So I don't know, Shells, any comments on that one?
Yeah, look, I think I'm gonna be bold and say, for those people listening, that I'm gonna put an inverted commas at old school. I put myself in that old school inverted commas, just to be clear, and I'm not that old. But look, our thinking around work and work-life balance actually needs to change. Because I remember being on in a Mindshop conference and we talked a lot about this, that the world isn't the world that we used to be in. We have more flexible working environments, flexible working times, all of those sorts of things. And we really have to challenge ourselves around what work and home life means to us as individuals and not expect that everybody else around us is doing the same thing as we're doing, because everyone has other circumstances, right? So I think once again, that's about having more of a growth mindset as opposed to a fixed mindset. This is how it has to be. And I think Stu's right. There's people, you'll know people out there in your organization that will go over and above all the time for their job and sacrifice their home life because their job's super important. My question to you is that what you want for that person long term? Because that word burnout, decreased productivity, that's where it all ends up eventually, because that's not sustainable long term for those people. So we don't work in 7:30 to 5:30 jobs anymore, or that's not the way the world operates anymore. So we really need to challenge our thinking around that.
Yeah. So finally, guys, if you download the report, again, there's a link in the show notes for this, is the final part in this report is kind of the steps to take action. And so you of identifying, the idea being is you identify what you want to adopt and what you want to abandon and sort of go through that. The other thing that Mindshop does, and we've got a link to this diagnostic again in the show notes, is there's what's called a growth and profit diagnostics. And what this allows you to do is kind of look at your business. I think it's about 30 to 40 questions and ask you to rate different aspects. And it kind of gives you this really detailed report on the areas that you may need to focus on, what you need, what is going well, and give you some suggestions on that. So what it can do is really complement this idea of what you will adopt and what you need to abandon. The thing that we would suggest you do from there is going, okay, these are the actions I want to take. So then break that down into kind of actionable steps. Okay, what is the one or two things over the next month or 90 days, whatever time period, but I would just keep it under 90 days at maximum, that we are going to do to work on this. So you might be, okay, what am I going to do to work on profitable growth? Okay, these are the two things I'm going to do. That links then to how are you going to make sure you do it and implement it. It might be time boxing, might be with some other people in the business that we have, we really look at how we implement that in our meeting schedule, how we catch up, how we hold ourselves account, all that kind of stuff. And I guess if you going, hey, Stu and Shells, that sounds all great, and I actually want to do this stuff, but I have no idea to start, feel free to reach out, because that's, I guess, we are seeing a lot more work that we're doing with a client, which is not just on the plan, but how do we actually implement this stuff? How do we get traction? How do we get accountability in the business to that? So that's one thing we are also really working on at the moment with a lot of clients who just want to kind of just make sure they are moving forward and getting traction and navigating some speed bumps that often happen on the way. So I guess, yeah, Shells, final comments from you, any kind of key things you would sort of talk about from that implementation piece of people that kind of maybe kind of start to think about this report, do the diagnostic and go, okay, where do I start with this? How would you sort of encourage them to kind of start that process of implementation?
Yeah, I think starting's the key word, right? So Stu's going to provide you with all of the links to the growth profit diagnostic. I highly encourage you to use that. If you don't do anything else, just do that. And I'd also encourage you to pass that link on to the key people in your business and ask them to answer it. So Stu and I have done this with a few exec teams where we get them to all answer this growth profit diagnostic, and then you can kind of combine them and have an overall summary, because some things that you believe don't need to be changed or are actually really good, maybe your ops manager doesn't think that that's the case and they should be things that should be worked on. So we are here to help for sure, but if you don't do anything else other than listen to this podcast, do the GPS diagnostic and the link, and then seek us out for some help. We're around, we're fully flexible, and we're here to help. That's what our job is, and we would love nothing more than to help some of our listeners for sure.
Awesome. Thanks, Shells. So just to back up, so we are trying to get back onto a regular cadence of the podcast. We're looking at sort of fortnightly cadence. If you want to kind of keep up to date with all the podcasts, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. But also just feel free to reach out. I've put our contact details in the show notes so you can kind of reach out to us. And we look forward to catching you in the next few weeks. Thanks a lot, Shells.
Thanks, Joe.